responsible, but we've also got, Karen, you mentioned connectivity or the concept of how being isolated impinges on our mental health. And one of the key things that comes up time and time again is about how if we're connected with each other and with our community, we do better. And I think that there is a certain amount of fear around social media and mental health. Certainly when I started tweeting on behalf of our organisation, I had a lot of fear around what about this and what about that. And, you know, we sort of haven't gone into the space in such a big way because there's been a bit of hesitancy about people sharing their information in that forum. So I wanted to have a general discussion about that. But also, particularly with youth, the youth mental health illness rates in the last 12 months, it's running at about 30% for 16 to 30-year-olds, which you'd be familiar with. And that's very frightening. The rate for anxiety for girls, 16 to 24, is 21% at the moment. It's very significant. And the young people are very connected in terms of the internet, and they tend to be quite connected. So for me, it just throws up the question, well, how do we do this better? What's not being done now that we could do? What's the new frontiers? How can we explore this? How can we do it creatively and safely? And how can we actually improve people's mental health? There is the other issue too, that our connectivity means sometimes people are actually anxious when they're not connected too. And that's we had that actually a live example of that on the way in when I thought I'd forgotten my mobile phone halfway here. Oh no, what am I going to do? So there's that whole other issue just to the side of it. What is all this connectivity, this 24-hour switched on stuff, actually doing to us as well? So I open the floor because I think there's lots of things we could talk about.
One thing that I've already seen in terms of the internet that it's probably not classed as social media, but things like being able to make a phone call to somebody in regional Victoria. Well, actually, Darwin was somebody I worked with, and these people were like, we've got problems with our son, we want to come to Melbourne and see you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we can work by phone to start with, or Skype, we end up working by, with video, with ConnectUp, and I've done something in New York as well. Just that access, that allows people more access to things, just that technology alone. So that I see is something that's enabling.
In fact, Catalyst did a story in the last couple of weeks on a new program which is solely web-delivered, CBT, cognitive behaviour therapy, via the web.
I saw that. It was very interesting.
It was very interesting.
Put the psychologist out of business.
It's very interesting.
Wasn't that around a few years ago?
I think a number of things have been tried, but that's going quite... The programs, as far as I can tell, the research on that's going really well. It's showing it's doing very well. And it's connecting them in. I think, Rod, it was connecting them with a local GP, or there was some connecting in with...
I didn't actually see the story. I just read a blurb online where it was basically a program designed to ask the questions and approaches that CBD does. And it takes out... gets away with the psychologist's couch because they're actually getting better results with the online version than they were with having the human being.
It's interesting because the thing they had about three or four different characters that you could pick, and those characters, if you identified strongly with one of them or their situation, you just follow through their day and the decisions they make and thought process they went through.
Some interesting research about how long it takes a doctor to come to a conclusion or start to make a diagnosis, and it's within about 18 seconds.
Yeah.
Really? But that's in general practice, I don't know whether it's supposed to be...
18 seconds for a mental health diagnosis?
Well, that was just in general practice, a medical diagnosis. Someone starts talking 18 seconds, that's when the GP will interrupt with and ask questions because they've already formed an opinion.
So that's even shorter than that.
Well,
I would hope in mental health...
It's interesting, the ear probe, very recently, as you must have heard, there's been some very exciting developments through the Monash and Professor Jayashree, I can never pronounce her name, Kulkarni, in that they, through an ear probe, they can diagnose, they're finding that they can diagnose by balancing people with an ear probe, mental illness, within about an hour, and the average time they found for diagnosis of a mental illness such as bipolar was 12 years. And I have personal experience of that because I have a brother who wasn't diagnosed for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
So I understand that people do fall through the cracks, and diagnosis is a really difficult thing.
So is that implemented now?
It's in the research phase. She thinks it's probably 2 to 5 years off full implementation, but it's looking very exciting.
Yeah, because I have a brother too who has been diagnosed with everything from epilepsy to bipolar, and changes every month.